Brother just told me to feel at home. And we came in here Thursday night, sat down for the song service, started listening to those songs sung, and right away I knew I was home. We're separated by distance, but we're all family. We're among friends. And we're here this morning, I trust, to worship one that sticketh closer than any friend, sticketh closer than any brother. For truly, he is worthy to be praised. Those discourses that have gone on before, sitting here for Thursday night and all day Friday, and seems like after every discourse it made our minds go to certain places in Scripture. But as we sat here this weekend, I look around and California has 53 representatives in Congress. Georgia has 13. And I just use that as kind of a gauge to see how many people live in a state. Representatives are based upon population. I come from a state that has about four times as many people as the state of Georgia. Land-wise, we're probably twice as big. In the state of California, we have 10 churches. 10 vineyards where God's people are serving the Lord. There are several here that have traveled to California, and I'm thankful this morning that there are two brothers to follow me this morning that have been to California that I've met before, and they know what I'm talking about. There is a people in California that love the Lord. But there's only 10 churches in the state, 10 places where God's people meet in that whole state. Last weekend, my wife and I, we drove 700 miles round trip to serve a church. I'm not standing here this morning to brag or puff myself up, nor am I standing here that you would feel sorry for the churches in California. Because it is the same Jesus that fills our congregations on Sunday morning is the same Jesus that is here with us this morning. It's not about numbers. It's not about quantity. It's all about quality. And brethren, if there's only two or three, if the Lord is in the house is full. For where the Lord is, it's a heavenly place. It's home. It is where the Lord has set aside for us to come out of this present world, this time and temporary world, and look upon those things that are eternal. For brethren, if we are not here this morning with the understanding that we are to partake and embrace and lay hold upon the eternal life that is given us in Christ Jesus, then brethren, we are missing the point. Do not take for granted what you have here in the state of Georgia. Please. I have been blessed to come from another order and see the truth. And it hit me as hard as running into a doorway. The first time I heard a discourse, they thought I was in a trance. They That little red-headed woman back there, the bride I believe the Lord gave me, was my date. I went to pick her up. She said she was going to church. I was in the Navy. I loved myself. Trust me. Somebody said something about sliced bread. Sliced bread was nothing compared to me. But she said she was going to go to church. I was leaving. This is over. She thinks church is more important than me. So be it. Well, you can come to church with me. And I did. When we went back to her house that evening, I said, "Can I come pick you up Sunday and take you to church?" We serve a God who's able. I think we forget that sometimes. I think when we start saying we have big troubles, we forget that God is able. We start thinking about how bad things are. We forget that God is able. He said to casting all your care on Him. And when we say, "I've got big troubles," what are we doing? "Well, I'm going to cast this one on You, Lord, but maybe You're just too busy for this one." I serve a God that when He uses an infinite word, it means an infinite. It means exactly what He's talking about. And when He says all, it excludes nothing. But when He says none, it doesn't include anything. So here's a people that God looked down and said, "There is none good. No, not one." You know, we're kind of slow sometimes. We have to be told things once or twice or more often before we get it. How many is none? No, not one. That's how many good God saw.
Yeah.
But all that the Father giveth Him shall come to Him. And He also says, none are going to be cast out, right? Remember what none means? No, not one. So all is got a pretty secure place, right? Sometimes we forget that He's able. I'd like to look in the book of Daniel real quick this morning. In the book of Daniel, there was Israel who had forgotten that God was able. And they were taken into captivity. And in captivity, oh, brethren, we have problems. Here was three young men, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were taken into captivity along with Israel. And while in captivity, those that were giving advice to the king told the king, "We need to make the law so they worship You, O king. And anyone that doesn't worship You, king, we need to get rid of them. We need to get rid of them." Brethren, sometimes when we are in congregation where the Lord is pouring out His blessings, that we have brought meat into His house, that He is pouring out blessings that we are not able to contain, we lose sight that there are times when the well may run dry. That when we forget the Lord is able, that we allow this time and temporal things in our lives to block that, that tells us that we are the children of the King, that we are a peculiar people, not strange. That means that we are owned exclusively by one at the exclusion of all others. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. But here are these three young men who refused to bow down at the feet of the King. Refuse. Why? Because it is not the right thing to do. Brethren, things may seem at times to cause us great distress. But things that we allow to happen because we do not say a simple word. No, that's not right. How much of the things that have crept into our society could have been stopped if somebody had just said, no, that's not right. Here are these three young men. And they refused to bow down and worship this King. Why? It was not right. So let's read here in the second chapter of Daniel a little bit. Well, in the third chapter is what I want to get to. Let's read in the 13th verse. And Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring, and by the way, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, that was their given names. And when they were taken in captivity, they were given Babylonian names. I like their given names. So he brought these three, then they brought these men before the King. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, if it be, if ye worship not, ye shall be cast that same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Boy, Nebuchadnezzar just didn't know the wrath that was about to come down upon his head, did he? Nebuchadnezzar thought an awful lot of himself. We have men in this world that think an awful lot of themselves, and we have a lot of people that worship those men that think an awful lot of themselves. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the King, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner.
Amen.
You know what that means? There was no doubt in their mind what their answer would be. And they were not going to keep it to themselves because they might offend somebody. Or if I say something, it will convict me. Or somebody might not think a whole lot about me because I sure like to be liked. I don't want people to think bad about me. They said, we're not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve. That's pretty important, isn't it? Serving God. It says the God that they serve is able. Is able. What is he able to do? I read in one place over in Genesis, where he told Abraham, there's nothing impossible with God. There's nothing impossible with God. This morning, we heard discourse of, and the question was asked, do you believe these things about God? Do you believe there is anything impossible with God? Is He able to do all of His good pleasure and His will? Brethren, we drove down the interstate here on Thursday. And well, this is beautiful country. I heard about the three Georgia peas. The pines, the pecans, and the peaches. Those are beautiful pines. Out in California, we got the redwoods, the big trees. That's God's creation. That's God's palette and His paintbrush. The world that God spoke into existence and the world that is upheld by the power of His Word. The world that man wants to try to figure out where it came from. Brothers and sisters, God is able. He spoke it into existence, and it's in existence and will stay in existence as long as God decides it's going to be in existence.
Amen.
But brethren, is it going to be forever? Because the Lord is coming back.
Amen.
And all this thing we see here, this creation, is temporary. It's temporary. It's going to be burned up. Brethren, He's able. He's able to control fire. He's able to control all things. Just by the power of His Word. Listen, they said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And I love this second part of this verse better than the first part. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King.
Amen.
Brethren, He hath delivered us. He doth yet deliver us. And He yet shall deliver us from the bondage of the sin, a world that we live in. Brethren, we're saved by the blood of Christ. And if we are who we have a hope of being this morning, we have been delivered already.
Amen.
Are we living like we know that we have been delivered from so great sin? What did sin do? It cast all of Adam's posterity under the law of sin and death. Suffice to say, and we know that God delivered them out of that burning fiery furnace. And what I like there is when that old king looked in and said, did we not cast three in? He said, I see four. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. He is able.
Amen.
He stands beside us in the fire. There is no temptation that is not common to man. You know what that means? We all go through it. But we have one that is able to succor us. We have one that was tempted in all manner, like we are. Yet, without sin. And we have such great examples. This is not a cunningly devised fable. This fire was hot. The men that the king had that were his guards, the biggest and the strongest in the army, just approached under the mouth of that furnace and it consumed them. That was a hot fire. The Lord delivered them out of that fire. And in the book of Hebrews, well, let's go to the fourth chapter of Romans first. In the fourth chapter of Romans, The Apostle Paul, writing about Abraham and the faith of Abraham. I just want to read, let's read from the 17th verse. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. For you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. That is where we were placed in our federal head, Adam, because of transgression. But he believed in a God that quickeneth the dead. This is what I like about this verse. I really like this. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. Brethren, if we had that faith, the next verse says, who against hope believed in hope. I kind of look at that as a mathematical equation. You know, -1 + 1 = 0, right? Against hope, believed in hope. His faith said he believed in the one who believed that the things that were not as if they already were. Now, all hope only endures until reality consumes it, right? Reality consumes or takes away the need for faith and hope. And if you believe when God promises that it is already done, it's as if that hope has already been swallowed up. What faith that is that Abraham had. Abraham was not perfect. Abraham was a man. In California, we use a term that he put on his pants one leg at a time, just like I do. He was a man. But his faith in God, and that God had answered and fulfilled every promise that he made, gave Abraham the confidence that as God made a promise, it would come about. And in the 19th verse, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Listen, he staggered not. He did not hesitate. He did not have doubt. He did not stop and say, "Whoa, I've got big troubles. What am I going to do? I'm 99 years old, and God said that we're going to have a baby." He staggered not. He did not hesitate. It's as if it had already happened. He believed in the promise of God. He staggered not at it. And it says through unbelief. Because there's our problem, isn't it? There's the root of the problem. Unbelief. Look at what happened to Israel. Israel spent 40 years walking around in a wilderness when they could have been in a land flowing with milk and honey. They entered not in because of unbelief. Unbelief. God said, I will go before you and fight your battles. In unbelief, those spies came back and said, oh, there's giants in the land. We can't do it. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go up immediately. We're well able. They were blessed to go into that land. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Therein is our Father glorified, that we bear much fruit. He staggered not at the promise of God. He was strong in faith. And brethren, none of us have more of the measure of faith than anybody else. Because it's given to man the measure of faith. That means we're just given access to the whole. God didn't cut out a little piece and put it in you. If He did that, we'd kill it. It's a living faith. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. If we have it, we didn't ask for it. We didn't want it. It was given to us. Abraham's was strong because, like the natural body, you exercise it, it gets stronger. You only have one body. You're not going to get more of a body. You exercise, you might get less of one. I could exercise. But here we are. God, who is able. Abraham had faith that God was able, because it says so right here. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's a pretty important aspect, performance. You know, there were times that I made braggadocious claims that I could do something that I was not able to do. God doesn't do that. All of God's promises are in Him, yea and amen, unto the glory of God. Abraham knew God was able. You see a pattern here? Faith and God being able to perform what He has promised. In 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we're going to wrap this up pretty quick. Talking about our Lord, 22nd verse we'll read in the 7th chapter of Hebrews. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, this same Jesus, that same one on the morning of the resurrection there in Acts, this same Jesus, he's going to return again, that Jesus. But this man who sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on High, the man, Jesus Christ, our intercessor. There is one intercessor between God and man. The man, Jesus Christ. But this man, because he continueth ever. You like that? He continueth ever. How long is ever? Is there an end to ever? I'm glad there isn't, because He says He's loved us with an everlasting love. That tells me that love is going to last forever. And we can't even conceive of how long forever is. You know why? Because we're constrained by time. We're constrained by the world we live in. Forever, when we're this big, is like between now and the time for the next play toy. Or when we get a timeout. That's a California thing. We need to apply discipline to our children in measure. And we do it because we love them. But forever is that time when we're being disciplined when we're little. So forever is that is limited by our experience. Just put it that way. But God will never stop loving us. If He loved us, that love is forever. And so is this one who is continuing ever. Hath an unchangeable priesthood. Listen to this. Wherefore, He is able, Jesus, to save them to the uttermost. I love that word. How much is the uttermost? Is there anything that Jesus does not deliver us and save us from in faith? We have a poor brother out in California. He's an elder of pastor one of the churches out there that has cancer, and we pray this morning for a miracle for him. Faithful servant of God. And he's going to be delivered.
Amen.
I pray God delivers him back to his health. I'm a little selfish. I'd like him to stay with us. But brethren, if that's not the case, God's going to deliver him. This Jesus is the deliverer. He went and shed his blood and delivered us from a devil's hell. He shed his blood and he applied that blood to the faculty of the hearts of all that the Father gave him in covenant promise before the foundation of the world. It's applied. He's able. If he wasn't able, I have bad news. We're yet in our sins. We have no hope. What are we doing here? You see? But does not your heart burn within you, crying out, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him. That's talking about right here, right now. We offer up our prayer, our supplication, our desires unto God through Jesus Christ, our intercessor, who takes the feeble activity of our worship and presents it to the Father in perfection. He always hears our prayer. And the fervent, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We're to pray without ceasing. The prayer of faith is that prayer that you pray and you continue to pray that prayer until you receive answer to that prayer. That's continuing in prayer. If you expect and God is able and you pray to Him for deliverance, and you have the attitude of, I'll just pray it this one time and we'll see what happens. Do you really think that God is able? I heard a little blurb. It's, you know, ladies prayed, lived on the ocean, had a sand dune, and she wanted to see the sea. And she prayed, Lord, move that mountain. Lord, move that. Prayed it three times, looked up, still there. She said, I didn't think it would happen at all. That's not a prayer of faith. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth, make intercession for them. Come pray for it.